And welcome back to Success Made to Last International Trendsetter Series. I'm Rick Tocchini. This series is about the art and science of marketing, its reinvention, the harnessing of rapid change, giving you, the listener, emerging ideas from around the globe to help your company create your best version. Our host is Deborah Malone, marketing pioneer and guru, highly opinionated, daring, and a trendsetter. She is the internationalist, connecting people and ideas in international advertising, media, and marketing through intelligent content. Join Deborah today in the pursuit of reshaping the future of marketing. Here's Deborah Malone.
Thanks, Rick, and welcome to another internationalist trendsetter show. Michael Mazinski believes that an ad agency, at the very least, should provide businesses with the inspiration to advertise. As CEO of independent creative shop London Advertising, he is keenly aware that right now every agency is reminding their clients that those who advertise in a downturn will gain market share over those who do not. However, he has gone one step further. Realizing that ad agencies rarely advertise themselves, while other professional services certainly do, he has created an ad campaign for London Advertising by doing exactly what he tells his clients to do. Make it simple, cut through the clutter, get noticed, and most importantly, be sure that people remember the name of the advertiser. The London Advertising campaign was created by the agency for the agency in lockdown and is now running across the UK with 9,000 spots on Sky News, dozens of premium digital outdoor locations, as well as on LinkedIn. The highly recognizable voices of both Helen Mirren and Liam Neeson provide the voiceovers for the campaign. Today, we're talking with Michael, who believes his company must lead by example if businesses are going to get the economy moving again, and how the size of an idea is what matters, not the size of a production budget. Welcome to the show, Michael. Hello, Michael. Welcome to the show. We're delighted to have you here. And I must say that every agency these days is telling clients that those who advertise in a downturn gain market share versus those who do not. But none of them do it themselves. You have broken the rule on this. London Advertising is literally putting their money where their mouth is. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your campaign that debuted this month?
Hi, and yes, I think it's interesting. This has been a debate that's gone on in industry circles for some time. Why don't advertising agencies advertise? And many people would say, oh, well, you know, we allow our creative product to sell us and our happy clients. And I had a very great fortune to be emailed by Professor Byron Sharp, who's a bit of a guru in the marketing world, who said, yes, that's the argument that many agency heads make, but the truth is the same in terms of the selling process and being a business for management consultancies or accountancy firms, and they advertise. Well, we thought that was a bit of a paradox, and so, like I think many of our peers, our business was profoundly affected by the coronavirus, with clients having to stop spend, and we understand that. So we thought we should take our own advice and advertise ourselves, because also one of the other things is that at the moment, for example, TV viewership is hugely up, and TV media costs are significantly down. So there's no better time to do it. And also, we do think that there's a benefit to show to other advertisers that actually we have the confidence in what we do in our own product to actually do it for ourselves. And one of the things that when we first set up London as a advertising agency is we wanted to create a brand. It's not just the name of the partners on the door. We wanted to prove that there was a new way of working. In fact, we set up 2 weeks after the collapse of Lehman Brothers, which is when the world stopped advertising. And we were a new startup with no revenue, and we wanted to demonstrate that in the 21st century, you can produce global campaigns without having offices all over the world. And I think part of our sort of philosophy is to treat our own company as a brand, as we would, and do things that we would advise our clients to do. So that's been a long-running aspect of how we think about our agency.
Now, that's very interesting, and it's also a point of difference. But describe the campaign that you've just done a little bit now, and talk about why you designed it the way that you did.
Okay, I think the starting point is something that we have designated from the outset as our enemy. And what has happened in the last few decades is that advertising recall rates have gone down massively. So they used to be, you know, in 30-40% of ads that were seen on television could be remembered the next day, and the brand who advertised, who spent the money on the media, could be recalled. Today, that figure has plummeted to 8%. What does that tell us? It tells us that 92% of the money that clients are spending, and that's an average figure, so some is a lot worse, 92% on average, all the media money being invested by clients is wasted. We think that's a shocking indictment on the industry, and we've always aimed to deliver for our clients much higher cut-through in their sector than their competitors. So, for example, Mandarin Oriental, which has a tiny global budget of just a few million dollars on media, but Ipsos Mori to say that has the highest ad recall of any client they've ever measured demonstrates that we are able to do that for other clients. So the way we design up our campaign is to do what we, again, would advise our clients. So the first thing is, because people are bombarded by 5,000 ad messages a day, what we have to say has to be simple. Cut through. Secondly, it has to be noticed. If your advertising isn't noticed, you're not even in the starting gate. It doesn't matter how clever your idea or how clever your strategy is. People don't notice what you're getting clients to spend good money on media for. It's irrelevant. And once they've noticed it, they need to be able to remember who the advertiser was. And that's where so many ad campaigns fall down. Mm-hmm. So we have applied those principles to our own campaign. The message is very simple, it's very well branded, but it's also relevant to the target market. So even though we had to produce it during lockdown, so it lent itself to a type-only visual look, we were able to secure the likes of Helen Mirren and Liam Neeson to be the voiceover on our 10 TV ads, which, given that we're a small global agency, is, I think, quite a testimony to our capability of doing things that other people would consider are unachievable.
Now, how did you secure such talent? Was that due to your connections through Mandarin? Were they fans? Or is it just that they believed in what you were talking about?
The truth is all of the above, and we've also worked with their agents, who I have to say have been brilliant. Stephen Arcieri, who represents Liam, and Fred Spector are both legends in their field. Fred looks after Helen and a number of the other fans from the Mandarin campaign. And apart from that, we've also worked with them on a number of charity projects, helping with things that are close to their hearts. And yes, they felt that, you know, given the impact of the virus on our business, that they were willing to step up to the plate and support us. And I said to my team, because originally our creative director did the voiceovers, and somebody was very brave and sort of put their hand up and said, well, they're absolutely fine, but wouldn't it lend something extra to the campaign if we had a distinctive voice? And to his credit, he was open-minded about that. And I said, well, look, I'm willing to approach Liam and Helen, hoping that, you know, one of them would do it. And I said, it would be a million to one shot, you know, they're incredibly busy and successful people in their own right. And to our, you know, absolute delight, both of them said yes. So they did half the commercials each.
No, it's wonderful because I've listened to all of the commercials, and they really do take quite a business tone in them. You know, this is quite serious stuff, and you better reckon with it. So I enjoyed it, and it's also, in a way, jarring at first because you're like, oh my goodness, who's that talking about advertising?
I think the one where Helen Mirren has been asked to read out our brand name about 8 times, London Advertising. Has an element of humour which is absolutely critical for that script. But the target audience is business decision makers, and given that the look and feel is so literally so stripped back and it's so simple.
No, and the copy is definitely to the point. And I think that it does make everyone, you know, realize immediately that an advertising agency is doing what they advocate everyone else does. And that combined with the seriousness in tone, particularly during these times, is I thought, you know, really stand out. But I want to ask you one other thing, because obviously normally clients fund your work. So in this case, how did you fund this effort?
Well, the impact of the virus is such that we have been able to retain our staff, but we are making a loss. So my business partner and I are both funding the loss of the agency currently out of our own pockets. And we are also funding this campaign out of our own pockets. Because the other thing that we believe is that, first of all, we believe that advertising pays. Mm-hmm. So this investment will pay back through getting new business in the longer term. Its primary focus at the moment is to build our name awareness and to get a bit of fame around the agency, because when, if you like, the competition have vacated the field of battle, we can dominate it. And it's had quite an impact, certainly in the industry. But I think it's also important that we as business people address a fundamental issue that we're all facing, which is the economy is going to be shot to pieces, as you were saying before, maybe for the next 10 years. Mm-hmm. And there's so much that government can do, but I'm reminded it was almost 60 years ago when JFK said, you know, do not ask what government can do, a country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. And I think it is up for people who are fortunate to have some money to actually reinvest in their businesses, to get them moving again, to get the economy moving again. Because if we don't do it, who is? You know, there's a limit to government action. And I think we need to take responsibility for our future destiny, for the people we employ. And if we all do that collectively, I think we've got a chance of getting out of this mess.
No, I think you're right. And I think that we're seeing that more. And I think that business is becoming elevated in many ways, perhaps through a discussion of purpose and values, but certainly doing more for the first time for all of its stakeholders. And many of those are employees as well as the clients that they serve. Let me just ask you a little bit about your business specifically, and then about the nature of our business in general. I do recall that the Internationalist named you an agency innovator in 2009, not long after you started London Advertising. And we did it in part because at the time you created the agency on a value proposition, which you mentioned before, that you don't have to necessarily have offices all over the world. And London is very lucky, being on Greenwich Mean Time, that you can talk to the entire world easily within a business day. But you also talked about something then, which was better, cheaper, faster. In other words, and you've alluded to that with the Mandarin Oriental campaign, which, interestingly, we gave a gold award to. But you talked about the importance of better, faster, cheaper in terms of delivering global campaigns. Now, more than a decade on, Is that mission still exactly the same, or has it morphed a bit? Talk to us about that.
Well, the philosophy behind why we set up the agency was that we identified that in the 21st century, we didn't need to have offices around the world to be able to produce international advertising. If you talk to clients, they were increasingly getting frustrated with the large networks taking a long time to do work that wasn't very creatively inspiring and that was very expensive. So as a new startup, we believe that we had the new proposition that we wanted to bring to the market. In terms of proving, I mean, I'm very grateful that the internationalist sort of awarded us and myself before we'd really proven it. But I'm so proud of the team that we've created who have, from our one office in London, actually produced work that's running more countries than WPP has offices in. We've been able to compete against the large networks and win business from every continent in the world. So I think we've been able to demonstrate that by doing work that is better, that we've been able to turn it around faster, and it costs less money to work with us than to hire 60 offices to do the same job, because you don't need to. So the philosophy behind the agency is unchanged. I think what we can do is we can burnish our credentials with pride that we've been able to succeed in doing that. And yes, we've been hit by another crisis. But, you know, what we shouldn't all do is go and sit down and cry in our soup. We believe that our destiny is in our own hands, and we have to do something about it.
Well, it's interesting you mention offices, particularly now that we're all working from home and relying on technology to connect ourselves. What do you think that means to the future of the agency world? We're always hearing about new agency models. We're also hearing about a larger move to going in-house. Is the future of the agency business now about being only more nimble, or is that simply, as they say, table stakes?
It hadn't really occurred to me until somebody raised it the other day that actually our whole business model effectively is predicated to work in this environment, because we were just working like that all around the world. It's just we happened to have an office and we all went into work every day. Mm-hmm. We were able to pitch for one of the UK's largest and most loved brands. We turned that around a very significant pitch in 3 days. Client loved it, and we are now discussing our engagement with them, which would just shock the rest of the industry what we turned around, because we were a well-oiled machine for working like that. I think the bigger question, you know, is not where and when we work in places, because I think people have adapted very quickly. I think it's the bigger question you alluded to was about, you know, clients taking certain work in-house and what the agency provides. And we've seen competition from management consultancies and accountancy firms moving into the advertising realm. I think what advertising agencies still need to retain at their heart is creativity. Because the accountancy firms, what they are doing is actually taking the nuts and bolts, the programmatic, the, you know, adaptation work to you know, product by the business. But that's not where the creativity sits. And when clients take in-house capability, it's very rare that they can drive that creativity consistently to a very, very high standard. So my vision for the industry is to, you know, retain and nurture and build on that creativity, because it's the one thing clients can't do, and it's what most of our competitors can't do.
Interesting. What then has to change on the client side? Is it that they have to honor that notion of creativity more and know what it can lead to? Because it does seem that so many people in leading marketing roles now have so many issues, you know, on their plates, you know, whether it's issues of accountability and transparency and return on investment, and is this driving sales, and so on and so forth. So what do you think clients have to do then?
Well, part of the challenge, and I appreciate, you know, given the complexity of the marketeer's role today, mm-hmm. is, you know, being able to cut through all of that to get to the, you know, brass tacks. Mm-hmm. And I think that the marketeer is best advised to understand the language of the board.
Say that again. Understand the language of
the board.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Marketing proposals, because marketeers can often talk in, you know, marketing terms, which to a financially driven board can sound like, you know, all the fluffy stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, what they want to know is actually what's the business return. And the danger with that is that you end up measuring not what's important, but what's measurable. Mm-hmm. And where creativity makes a difference. Now, come back to the 92% of media spend being wasted. How much time of a CMO's day or his team is based on, you know, evaluating all of the media plans and, you know, where the money is being spent? But if you're spending that same amount of money on something that's creatively not very good, you know, you might save 20% on the media buy. You can have 2,000% increase in return on investment if you have a good creative idea. So my advice is to do two things as a CMO. One is understand how to present marketing concepts mm-hmm. To a financially driven and financially minded set of people on a board. And secondly, to work out where you can embrace creativity to make a really significant difference to your business.
Interesting. I think that you're right. Some of it is marketing is a more complex business now, and it is difficult to keep that in mind. But it's funny because you also know it. You know when you see it. You know it, and when you see something that's fun or good, that only reverberates tremendously. So your own campaign then. You did mention that your goal is largely awareness, and I'm sure it wouldn't hurt if a prospective client picked up the phone. But how long are you giving it? How long do you estimate it will take to reach some of these goals with your own campaign?
Well, the campaign started at the beginning of July and will end at the beginning of August. We will continue to build on it through other communication tools. Just started a paid LinkedIn campaign, building off the awareness to drive people to the website. And already the first goal, which is to be more talked about within the industry, has been more than delivered, because everyone, certainly in the UK, in the industry, is talking about it. We were extremely gratified that within 2 days of the campaign starting, we had prospective clients knocking on our door. Mm. And we've now had 3 clients who we're talking to, developing plans for, who have been inspired to advertise or to contact us to do their advertising as a result of our campaign. And what I particularly like about it is it's given some people the inspiration to advertise, which is part of what we wanted to do, mm-hmm. is to say that, you know, if you've got business goals, advertising can help you achieve them.
No, that's amazingly important as well, because I think in our digital age, it seems to me that advertising has taken a big hit in terms of very few people admit to loving it. And they do talk about how annoying it is, particularly in a digital world, not necessarily in what we call the true creative world. You know what I mean? But with the retargeting and everything else. So I think giving people the inspiration to advertise again and having them recognize what advertising can actually do if done right is really important as well.
I'd like to build on that because
yes,
two aspects to it. One is very, as you mentioned at the outset, very few agencies advertise. And when they do advertise, in fact, Campaign magazine 2 years ago did a whole feature on the fact that one of the agencies here took a quarter page ad in a newspaper, one quarter page ad, and it became a huge debate. Mm-hmm. Now, it's wonderful when people do tactical things for, you know, create initiatives, create topicality to get talked about, generate PR. I'm all for that. You know, we've done it in the past. What no one, to my knowledge, has done is run a full major campaign using broadcast media. Because a lot of agencies go, oh, we're business to business, so we're going to use paid for social media or paid for digital media to reach people. And that's fine, you know, if you've got an established brand name and all of those things. But, you know, if you look at where the tech companies, really good ones, the really, you know, the ones that are absolutely doing extremely well, they advertise on TV and outdoor because they know, because they've actually got much more sophisticated metrics internally to measure the impact. They know that when they do that, that grows their sales. Mm-hmm. I have a bit of a bee in my bonnet that too many clients, you know, talk about, oh, we need to be digital first. Well, first of all, everything's digital. Mm-hmm. Secondly, digital is a channel. It's one form of media. Surely you should have a marketing strategy rather than a digital strategy. Digital is part of it. So we wanted to demonstrate in our campaign that still broadcast media, you know, TV and outdoor has a role today. And it's interesting because digital, all of our poster advertising is appearing on digital screens.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
And we've been working with a company to pioneer a way of using digital outdoor in a much more programmatic way to target individual audiences, mm-hmm. and to give them messaging that can be very varied by location, time, topicality, all of these sorts of things. Mm. Because one of the problems is that apart from, you know, being bombarded and retargeted when you've just bought something, which is very frustrating on your mobile phone, is the real estate you have to work with is the size of a postage stamp. Mm-hmm. But if you want to, you know, and that might be okay for click-throughs, but if you want to change people's attitudes, build awareness, change the fundamental behavior, you need, I still think, broadcast media to do that.
No, so that's, go ahead.
That challenges clients to think about what they're trying to achieve. And then, we're not a media buying agency, so we are completely neutral. And I know that the 3A's had a big issue about how the digital media buying, you know, sucked money out of building brands into things that were beneficial to the agencies. So we stand against all of that, but we do believe that you have to look at what is the task and then have a strategy that delivers that for the client and to be completely neutral from your selection of media. And that's very liberating for us because then we can give, you know, the best advice to clients.
Right. No, the canvas is as important as perhaps what you paint, if we can say that, then. So what is your vision then for the future of your business?
Well, it's actually unchanged from when we first set up, which was that one day every other agency will be a little bit more like us. Mm-hmm. So we hope to be a catalyst for change, for showing that there's other ways of doing things, and I'd love to get the debate going about should agencies advertise again, because I think, you know, hopefully in some way we'll get people to reevaluate. Actually, there is an opportunity to do that because, I, as you know, I used to work for the Saatchis, and doing new business for the Saatchis in the 1980s when I joined and it was a sort of height of its fame was picking up the phone for people wanting to give you their business because they had built a brand. Though they only, you know, amongst the public, 70+% of people had heard of Saatchi & Saatchi. Today, you know, if you look at the top 10 agencies, none of them gets into double digits with the public.
Interesting.
So, our vision is, you know, however long we are here, we want to make some long-standing impact on the industry.
No, that is noble, and I do remember those days. I particularly remember the days in Hong Kong when we were both there, and perhaps I should leave it at that and say that if you do feel that there are other ad agencies anywhere in the world that would like to take up the gauntlet of debating why advertising agencies should advertise, we'd be happy to host it. So, we will stay tuned to hear more about what's happening with your campaign, and I hope you'll come back to tell me what happens to some of those advertisers if you do indeed wind up doing a campaign on a broad canvas with them. So thank you for always innovating, also for inspiring others, and I hope we stay in touch on this.
Thank you. And one last thing, you mentioned that we got an award from the Internationalist. We did a covering of the Mandarin Oriental in London during its renovation with a collage commissioned by Peter Blake on the 50th anniversary of the Sgt. Pepper's album launch. When we were when the team was working from home and our existing client base had stopped keeping us busy, we organized for Peter to sign 100 fragments of each of the faces of the people on the poster and auction them for the World Charity for the Most Vulnerable Impacted by the Virus. And we negotiated a media partnership and we set all of that up during lockdown. So I think, you know, even though we were badly impacted, it didn't stop the team wanting to do good. And I think we should all, you know, remember that we have the power in our hands to help others as well as ourselves.
No, and there's no reason that doing good isn't good business. And I think that's something that more businesses are understanding and certainly we advocate. So it sounds a little bit like auctioning off pieces of the Berlin Wall. But you've been wonderful, and it's amazing to me how quickly time goes. So thank you. Thank you very much, Michael. It's great reconnecting, and I'm delighted to see you ever innovating. And thank you for being with us, and I hope you'll be back.
Thank you.
Here are two examples of the London advertising campaign, one with Helen Mirren and the other with Liam Neeson.
It doesn't cost a fortune to make a memorable TV campaign, just a memorable idea. This is an advert for London advertising.
We believe if you advertise through a crisis or recession, when your competitors aren't spending, you will gain market share. That's why London advertising is advertising. This is an advert for London advertising.
Thanks, Michael, for being a part of today's show and for playing an essential role in our industry by believing that advertising done right can be an important catalyst for growth. Now back to Rick.
And thanks for joining us for another Internationalist Trendsetter show hosted by Deborah Malone. To get further information on today's topic, visit the-internationalist.com, your trusted source for innovative marketing trends, best practices, aspiring to create new world standards. Have a great week.
This show is brought to you by Success Made to Last. Success Made to Last is a multimedia company with a focus on you and releasing your full potential. If you want to find out more information about all the programs associated with this company, go to successmadetolast.com.